What happens when one veterinary clinic's personnel is perhaps rude or short with another? We're talking about when you call for records, they are not happy about it. This week, we want to talk about the benefits and risk of informing another clinic of the behavior of their staff. This week on The Veterinary Viewfinder. Welcome back to The Veterinary Viewfinder, the podcast that tackles the toughest topics in veterinary medicine. And guys, a tough topic that we are going to encounter in clinical practice is calling another clinic for medical records. Now, most of the time, this is because a client is seeking a second opinion or they need an updated vaccines or whatever the case may be. But sometimes the folks on the other end of the line just don't want to give you that information. And if they do, sometimes they can be a little curt or short with you. This week, we want to talk about what you should do in those situations. Should you tell their manager or owner, and what are the benefits and potential risk? But before we talk about all of that risk benefit stuff, as always, I am your least risky host, Dr. Ernie Ward.
I'm your high risk registered veterinary technician, Becky Mosberg.
And Becky, how are you doing? Speaking of high risk, I mean, you're still in the recovery phase. How's it going?
Never a dull moment around here, but doing pretty good. Made it through all of February with no surgery. So, Feeling like I'm doing pretty great.
That is good. I mean, you've had, what, 6 or 7 total surgeries by now? I mean, it's a lot.
6, yeah.
Wow, yeah. Gosh.
Well, Becky, more to go.
One more to go. And when will that be?
At least. One or two more to go. We're looking at May. Okay. So.
Well, Becky, a lot of folks are still pulling for you. You know, obviously, you guys, if you want to reach out and tell Becky how much you wish her well, just send her an email at veterinaryviewfinder@gmail.com. But guys, this week we want to talk about a topic that I think we've all encountered in some way, shape, or form. And Becky, that is, you call another vet clinic for medical records and somehow, some way, somebody just isn't really happy about it. Have you ever had that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a little bit of an awkward thing just from the beginning, right? Because sometimes, you know, unless you're calling from like a specialty clinic or a referral center, chances are you might be quote unquote stealing that client.
Right.
And so I think there can be kind of an awkwardness around trying to get those records. And sometimes it is received less than welcoming.
Right. And again, you know, guys, I'm starting this whole conversation out on the basis of we're calling legitimately to get a record. So there's a client in front of us, or they're scheduling an appointment for all you know, legitimate reasons, and you're calling that other clinic. And the first thing I want to say is, you know, Becky, anytime when I'm confronted with these types of scenarios where someone perceives another as being rude to them, the first thing I'm going to say is, you know, maybe not. Maybe there's something else going on. Like, you know, I always try to ask myself, was this really directed at me intentionally, or am I just a collateral damage, so to speak? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And we know there's never really a dull moment in the lobby of a veterinary clinic.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's pre-post COVID, you know, like it's always busyness, it's always craziness. And so when you're calling, you know, it's not always the ideal moment, it's not always the ideal time. You know, I think about how many Monday mornings I've had a transfer from an emergency clinic come through and I need their emergency clinic records. And I'm calling the emergency clinic who's trying to discharge all the patients from the weekend. And I'm asking for records, and we both have very different priorities in that moment.
Right. So one person's rudeness is another person's just trying to get it done as quickly as possible. And, or maybe I can't do it right now for you. Right.
Yeah, or it's the 15th phone call requesting records that morning that, you know, because it's the nature of a Monday morning or whatever it is. And so sometimes it's just a matter of you're overwhelmed. And that's like, that's okay. But at the same time, in most professional situations, how you're feeling, if you're overwhelmed or frustrated, it shouldn't be coming out. But right, I think we're more likely to do it because it's a quote unquote colleague versus a customer.
Okay. So now, Becky, let's take this a little further and extend the scenario into this is repeatedly, right? Every time I call XYZ Vet Clinic for records, I typically get the same person, and she's this way every time. She's rude, dismissive. Sometimes she's just downright unhelpful. And, you know, I might have to call back twice, you know, before I can get in. Sometimes she doesn't even give me the information, right? And so I've got a client client waiting on me and we're looking bad. So Becky, in that situation, okay, now you flag this to your manager or your owner. Do you then, you know, are you compelled to say, you know what, I need to call this other clinic and let them know we got a problem?
I am stuck on that one. I think that more than quote unquote telling on the receptionist, I might reach out to their office. First of all, I really try to be quote unquote courageous conversations, right? So it might be something where I say straight to the receptionist, like, hey, I feel like I'm always bothering you when I call, or is there a better way for me to request records? Is there a better way that would be less frustrating or more convenient for you? So I might try to go straight to her. And then if I kind of got the same thing, because I'm feeling like as a practice manager, I don't want my staff, I don't want clients to be rude to my staff, and I don't want other practices to be rude to my staff. I'm going to be looking out for them. So if it continues to the point where my staff is like, you know, rock, paper, scissors, who's calling, because nobody wants to call over there and have, you know, Miss Rude Face be rude to them, I probably would then escalate to their manager, right? Not necessarily the owner, and say, hey, we're having a hard time with this process. Is there a better way to request records? Is there something digital? How would you like it so that we're not overwhelming your receptionist? She seems a little frustrated when we call. And it's been a bad experience for my team, and I'd like to make it a better experience for both of our teams.
Yeah. And Becky, I want to repeat that. That is so wise. And Viewfinders, this is why you'll hear Becky and I always emphasize process over people. See, if you make this about the person, then that team, that owner, that manager, even that individual is going to become defensive. Naturally, they want to defend themselves. You're besmirking their honor, so to speak. So you've got to go, like Becky is saying, say, what can we do to make this easier? You know, is there better time to call, or should I email you or text you? You know, you're solving the process issue, not just attacking the person. The other thing too, Becky, that I've always done this, and I would encourage Viewfinders to consider this, whenever I'm thinking of calling someone else and making a complaint or some kind of, you know, discussion like that, that like you said, might be a little challenging. I always say what I want to know, what I want somebody to call me with this conversation. And that kind of has been a guiding principle. So in this situation, if I had a staff member who is being rude to another vet clinic when they were calling for medical records, I would want to know about it. What about you, Becky? Would you want to know, or would you just say, you know, hey, this is competition? I don't know. I don't know how you can justify it, but, you know, I'm sure you can.
Here's the thing. In most vet clinics, everybody knows. Yeah. There's no secrets in the vet clinic, right? So if you have a rude customer service rep, you know. If they're pissy because you're from another clinic and they're calling, they're getting off the phone and they're saying, XYZ clinic is always calling for these records, and I swear if I have to send them one more record, yada, 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 right? So chances are you already know they're being rude and you don't care, or you're not willing to confront that behavior. So honestly, I feel like chances are, now if we're talking about a really big center that's big and divided and there's a good chance they don't know, or it's maybe the after hours staff and management is gone. I mean, like, with very few exceptions, I feel like chances are they already know. That's probably the culture of the clinic.
Exactly.
So I struggle with, do I call and tell them? Because when you're an owner or even a manager and you have a crap culture in your clinic, you either don't care or don't know how to fix it. So do I want to cost this person their job because their clinic doesn't know how to fix their bad culture? Do I want to tell on this person who might just be reflecting the culture of the clinic? They might just be rude to everybody who calls, which is probably why your patients are transferring to your clinic.
Right, exactly. You know, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Very well might be rude to everybody. So I'm really on the fence about telling or not telling, because I just feel like chances are they already know. I think that I would start with kind of a gentle push. And then if I felt like I got pushed back, I would flat out say, okay, I just wanted to find a process because my team feels like your CSR is rude to them. But I don't want to start a battle. I don't want to start a war. And I want to figure out, you know, what's effective and not. And I'm not sure that I'm the one to tell them that their CSR is rude, but I would leverage the relationship. You know, it would just depend. It's a lot of times in town, we have a good relationship. We know each other. You can mention it, but I think there can be such a gossip circle and there can be so much, you know, I'm going to need to borrow, you know, some Serenia from that clinic one day. Like, is it a bridge I want to burn?
Yeah, I know. And part of me, you know, whenever I hear these kind of scenarios, you kind of want to go, I don't want to say anything because we're winning. You know, I mean, like this person is probably running off the client. That's why we're calling you for the medical record. So there is that. I think, Becky, what you said bears repeating, and that is this is probably symptomatic of a cultural issue. So there's a very good chance you Finders, if you do talk to their manager or owner or whomever at the higher levels of this clinic are, they're probably going to have indifference on it, right? Because they, like Becky said, they chances are they know they've got a problem and they don't care, or that's the culture they foster and encourage and quite frankly nurture. So it's really one of those things where if you do make that call, don't expect things to change. And then you have to say, what is my desired outcome? For me, Becky, a situation like this, I'm going to say, all right, what I want this phone call, I would, because my culture supports that. But I'm going to focus on the process, not the person. And so what I would instruct my manager, my receptionist, whoever wants to make this phone call, or the next time it happens, I would just simply say, hey, listen, I am so sorry. I know you must be very busy right now. Is there a better way to do this? Because I want to make your job easier. And obviously I've got to, you know, satisfy my demands, but how can we make this work? I would really position it like that, Becky, instead of, again, just saying this person's rude or dismissive or short or whatever. Because again, if you attack the person, I think you're going to miss the opportunity to improve the process. But Becky, part of an extension of this is, you know, as we talk about, do you talk to their manager or not? Like, what about when this is, you're hearing this in the community? What if like, you know, do you feel like compelled to tell another business owner, like, you know, hey, I was at the hardware store and your employee was rude to me? Do you see what I'm saying? If we extend this out further, what sort of liability or a responsibility do you have to inform a business that they do have a bad actor in their employment? Any?
I'm a big karma believing person, you know, and you don't have the whole story, right? If you have an employee who's rude to you once, it you know, you don't know what's going on in their life or going on in their day. If it's like a local spot and every time you go there, they're grumpy or they're rude or it's straight up a problem, you have the benefit of not going there anymore. I do think it's worth a note. I do think it's worth saying, like, hey, I frequent your place of business, and unfortunately, I'm going to an alternate grocery store or to a competitor because I've had a bad experience with one employee so many times. You know, I just have a hard time with going out of my way to complain about somebody who didn't do me any kind of like harm or foul, right? Yeah. Like if they mess up in a way that it is like bad, that might be one thing, but just like unpleasant interaction, who knows, especially in a service industry. So I'm not quick to, you know, complain in that case, especially to a manager. And I think that that is part of the problem / benefit of social media nowadays, right?
Right,
is
right.
Instead of going to the manager, we go to social media, we go to Google reviews, and we say, like, I love this restaurant, but the service is always crap. Or like, I love the veterinarian, but the receptionists are always rude. You know, and then it kind of gets put out there that way. And that's how the feedback comes to you. Which is part of the reason I think it's worthwhile to be proactive in seeking feedback from your clients. I do think there's a kind of a little bit of an overload, right? Everywhere you go, you get a 4-foot receipt and then they highlight the bottom and they say, if you call this phone number, you can win $500. And if you mention my name, I get a bonus or whatever, right? You know, a lot of people are doing that. But I think even just a quick, how was your experience? Hey, is there anything you want to tell us for follow-up? It could be valid. It could be worthwhile. My issue is that generally this is an echo chamber. If you're doing the follow-up, you wouldn't have a receptionist who's being rude in the first place because you've got that good culture.
Right. Boy, there's a lot to unpack there. And I'm with you. I think there's so much value to be gained just by checkout saying, how was everything today? And, you know, people are always quick to say, oh, you just get nonsense answers. Let me tell you, though, they'll highlight something that they felt was wrong. And I think that's where the real lessons can be learned. So that person who felt like, you know, hey, I'm a good client, I've been coming here for 5 years or whatever, and suddenly today somebody just treated me, you know, rudely, I want to know that. Like, I need to know that. So I don't need all the platitudes, oh, you guys are awesome, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, I do want to know occasionally if we slip up. And so I think it's viewfinders. I would love to get your opinions on this, but for years, that is exactly what we trained our staff to do, was say, how was everything today? Just put it out there. And I think it does help. Becky, you did mention social media, and I think that's really where this whole conversation has really shifted. So we're talking about intra-clinic, so two clinics communicating, but our public now can go on your Facebook or your Instagram or your TikTok or wherever, right? Or your Google reviews and suddenly, say whatever they want. How do you think that has changed the way we interact with each other, right? So we've got the public kind of jumping in on us all the time. Do you think that is fueling the fire between us complaining about each other as in veterinary setting? Hopefully that made some sense.
I don't think about complaining about each other. If you had a rude receptionist, like if you call somebody and their CSR is rude to you and you go on to Google about it, you're a jerk.
Right.
That would be terrible. So I don't think inter-clinic wise it matters, but I do think it just kind of sets a tone. We all end up at CE events together in town. No matter what, it's a small environment. And so then there starts to be this like mini animosity between clinics. And then there becomes this sort of, it can extend over to clients when they come and say, oh, you'll be happier here anyway. Our receptionists are nice. Then those kinds of little quips start becoming part of the language. Mm-hmm. And I think it can unfoil quickly. I think it can kind of be contagious.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so I think that it can start just sort of one person in the clinic creates a bad experience, and now that whole clinic is rude, or we always have a bad experience when we call them, or that type of thing, So then they become labels within the profession on a local level for each clinic.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I guess what I was trying to emphasize there is I think that there's so much negative rhetoric in social media and the news around vets prices and, problems and shortages and all that mental health, right? That sometimes I think that it kind of leans into us having more negative conversations about each other instead of supporting and celebrating each other and raising each other up. So that's just a personal aside, has nothing to do with today's conversation. Becky, what about sometimes when those clinics start to throw up false flags with the client? So the client is calling in and they're saying, hey, I'd like for you to send my records to Becky's clinic. And they start to say, oh, we can't do that. That's illegal, or we have to have a written request or all that kind of nonsense. What do you say to that?
So I have experienced a good bit of that. And I think part of this issue of the root issue of inconvenience, calling, overwhelming calling, kind of the challenges with getting records has created some clinics to say, you have to get your medical records, get your medical records and bring them to us.
Right.
And it's not a service that they offer. And they pretty much tell you, you need to get a hold of your medical records. Now that's a hard one because I think a lot of clients are just used to doing it in between the clinics, and the client doesn't want to go back and face them and say, hey, I need my medical records, because it feels awkward. Yeah, I'm going somewhere else. So getting them in general can be an awkward situation. And I have seen clinics just say, we're not dealing with it anymore. You bring them.
Right.
I think can help in some cases. There are clinics, I have dealt with clinics who say you need a release from the client to release these medical records. It's privacy policy. I find that incredibly frustrating because it can only be an in-house privacy policy. And if the client is requesting them, then that's why I'm calling. I have no other use for finding those records. You know what I mean? I'm not wallpapering my office. So I think that it can be an awkward situation. And to some extent, having the client handle it, putting it off on a client from a clinic standpoint can be a little bit easier. You're not paying me to call and get your records. You're not paying me to send your records. So it can be, and I think today it's easier. We have electronic records. They go as one quick email, as opposed to like, we used to have to print everything out and then fax it page by page. And then the fax machine ate it halfway through. And it really was a problem. Yeah. So I think there's that. But I mean, if you're telling me you're not going to really release records, I'm going to tell you, you're probably going to have a pretty annoyed client calling you immediately after to say, I gave permission. What more do you need from me? if you tell me I got to come all the way down there and sign a record or sign a piece of paper because you're going to give my dogs literal vaccine records,
right?
We're not talking about private third blind study records. We're talking about breeds,
right,
you know?
Right, right. Yeah.
So I think that's a hard one, but I think that it's something that people are used to because of HIPAA. So I think we kind of extrapolate and just kind of lean into it to make it a little easier for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, viewfinders, this is one of those issues where, you know your laws, know your regulations, know we're not under HIPAA, but you know, you don't want to create an undue burden either on folks because they're probably just trying to get care for their pet. So, you know, I think we've held these records hostage for so long that it does. I mean, Becky, you know, we were talking about this 30 years ago. And I'll tell you one of the things when I was first involved with really the first online medical records by one of the major players, we developed a product that's still in use today. And really, when we would do surveys on clients, Becky, without a doubt, the number one reason why they wanted access to this portal was for their medical records. And that was to sort of avoid all the stuff we've talked about, right? I mean, they don't want to deal with it. And so they've, and you know, at the end of the day too, Becky, a lot of it was minor medical records, like, you know, like vaccine histories. That would be a war that would be waged, you know, just like you said. Yeah. And again, we're not talking about, hey, I need the last 5 years of my cat's kidney, you know, test values, which I think is incredibly important. But, you know, again, you know, these are impediments to care. And I think that for a profession that says we're all about caring and less about money, sometimes we do some things that call that into question. You know what I'm saying, Becky?
Yeah, and it makes me want universal record keeping more. Because I think about how easy it is when I go from one Novant hospital to another Novant hospital, and then now even over to Wilmington Health.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know what medicine I take. Look in the computer. You give them to me. You have to know. I don't know. You know.
Right.
So I, you know, the universal record keeping is just such an important way to have good continuation of care. And it makes me want it so much more when I think about this, because I think to myself, like, gosh, the days, I mean, I remember because I'm not that old, I know, but like clients used to have to come in, sign out their x-rays, bring them to the specialist, you know, and it was such a harder process. And it's like, now you just zip, zap, zap. In fact, I have like a second opinion on one of my issues. And I could see in my chart the other day that this doctor, who I don't see for like 3 months, already went in and looked at my MRI.
Right.
You know, so like, it's such a better way of doing things. And it's not the topic of conversation today, but it really just, I just am over here, you know, noodling on how much this would save time for our CSRs, energy, effort, and the likeliness of something getting missed. That third page didn't get printed off. That one visit got left out. You know, and it's just efficiency for everybody. It's because I'm also ruminating on how many times I've kind of been standing in the back and just kind of standing around. The vet's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm waiting on the medical records for Ms. Smith. Like, she doesn't want to give another rabies. She knows that the dog had it. So I'm waiting to find out, right?
Yeah.
And then is a verbal verification of that, where does that fall in the legal realm of things? Oh, yeah, they had it. Well, not too long ago, my dog, I made an appointment for her at the vet. I didn't get a call back as a reminder. So I called them to say, does she still have her appointment? They said, no, you called and canceled it and rescheduled it for this day. And I said, no, I absolutely did not. they said, oh, we have it on recording. You're welcome to come by the hospital and listen to it. Your husband called and changed this appointment on such and such a date. And I said, that absolutely did not happen.
Wow.
Long story-ish short, there is another Layla Mosser, who is M-O-S-E-R. Wow. And was the only Layla in the system at the time, because I guess I hadn't brought her into this new clinic yet. I thought I hadn't. They didn't have her in there. So there was this whole other appointment situation that happened with a whole other family. So like, what if they looked up her vaccine records?
Right.
And then they told my new vet, hey, this is her vaccines. And it says she got them. She's due. Well, it's not the right dog. And it took us a little bit of back. Like I said, when you said my husband called and canceled, I was like, I guarantee you that didn't happen now. Hang on. And my husband's...
Timmy's not that dumb.
She said, she said, your husband, Kenny, or whoever. And I was like, okay, I've identified the issue. That's not mine. So we traced it back to different Layla Mosser, just different spelling of the last name. And that's with a unique last name. Now you have like a Buddy Smith, right? And you're like, okay, we've got a ton of those. So it just has me thinking about really the importance of all of that as it is. And again, not for today's topic, though I have monologued on it. There's just so many ways that this can go wrong in general, you know? Yeah.
Well, and again, getting back to the initial thing, so people being rude about giving your clients, your clinic, medical records, I think it's short-sighted. You know, I remember I did an article in the late 90s in Veterinary Economics about this issue about, you know, how to deal with clients who are requesting medical records. And I remember writing about this because we had encountered this. I was like, you know, those may be just temporary lapses in judgment. I think that's exactly what I wrote in the article, because it's like, you know, sometimes people are just like, for whatever reason, say, you know, Dr. Ward, I don't think he was very thorough last time, right? And they may want to go somewhere else. And I was always like, I want to welcome them back, right? Like, that was the thing, is like, if I'm rude to you when you're trying to leave, you're never coming back. But if I'm open and welcome and transparent and say, sure, no problem. Yeah, we totally get it. You know, sometimes you want a second opinion or whatever. We found a lot of those people boomeranged back. And in fact, I think that might have been the title of that article, was Boomerang Clients. And, you know, because I just don't want to always write them off so quickly. And again, these weren't people that were threatening or anything like that. These are just like people who were calling for their records to go to another appointment. I also found, too, in our clinic, Becky, which, you know, we were kind of known for high quality, and that meant that we were, you know, the most expensive clinic around. And so a lot of times people would seek kind of lesser care, like vaccines or heartworm tests or whatever, somewhere else. And I just got really good and comfortable with accepting that and realize that, you know what, for a lot of folks, I'm going to be the sick dog vet. You know what I'm saying? I've had no problem with that whatsoever. I mean, my practice model, if you was really on making preventive care as affordable as possible, but really focusing on, you know, medical, you know, illness and surgery and so forth. That was just my jam, right? And again, you can totally be whatever you want, but I just would say, don't just be so quick to slam the door shut when that client calls up for records, because, you know, you may be missing out on a future really good relationship.
Sure. And I mean, it may just be a matter of like, hey, I've got to get this board to tell it, my dog, we're boarding or traveling and you don't have a slot available. So I'm just going to run over to this clinic, or, you know, this clinic helped my neighbor with the same problem, so I just want to see what this doctor says. It's not personal. And, you know, I think sometimes we forget, like, we personally do the same things. We seek other opinions. We do other things. So, you know, I mean, it's not that big a deal. I wonder, it makes me think, you know, I think about how when you want your prescription refilled, you need to call the clinic 24 hours ahead of time. That's what all the messages say. If you need a refill, it shoots you to this voicemail. Sure. You have to give them 24 hours.
Yep.
I don't see clinics with a policy for requesting records like that. And I wonder if requesting records and giving a time frame and a way of doing it that was a little bit less intrusive to the moment might be beneficial for some clinics, to say, if you need medical records, you know, leave a message, this information, and we have 24 hours to get them to you.
Yeah, if you're going to be rude about it, I think that's a great solution. You know,
if it's that intrusive to your day, be fair, again, the emergency clinic, it absolutely was, you know, they're trying to discharge. They close at 8 a.m. Everyone has to pick their dogs up by 8 a.m., transfer them to their regular vet. And the regular vet is looking at this medical mess in front of them and has no information on really like what happened. Hopefully the client brings a receipt and we can at least look and see, you know, what happened medically from a charge standpoint. So, you know, it really can be. I've never been in that position, right? I've not been a CSR getting all those phone calls and requests, but I've dealt with transferring records and I've dealt with asking for them. And it just seems like a rudimentary thing that we still kind of struggle with.
Yeah, it really is. And viewfinders, this is one of those issues that we think we shouldn't have to struggle with. So while we don't have all the clear answers on this one, you know, should you call or should you not? It sounds like maybe not. Maybe it's not going to benefit you a whole lot unless you think it would really help out everybody in your community. But again, we just want us to be clear and transparent with our medical records in general and how we communicate with each other in a civil fashion. I mean, you know, I'd love to hear how you've dealt with these situations. I'm certain that all of you listening today have encountered it in some way, shape, or form if you've been in clinical practice for any length of time. And I'd love to hear sort of how you've gone about dealing with it. Because you know what, Becky, there are as many answers and solutions to this one as there are of us out there. And this one's one of those that I think does need a little bit of sort of thought and really, I would say, strategy from your clinic, because we've laid out a lot of different options, but you know, you got to figure out the one that fits right for you. And here's the other thing, Becky, it's going to change over time, right? I mean, hopefully if we get to universal records, this will all be obviated, but who knows? So we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about dealing with medical records? How do you deal with rude clinics or rude folks in your life? You know, do you let them know? Do you go online? I mean, do you tell their boss? I'd love to hear what you've done with that. And Becky, if they want to tell us how they dealt with all that kind of stuff, how can they do that?
Well, you can send me a note. I'll keep it on record over at Facebook and Instagram at Veterinary Viewfinder and at Gmail at veterinaryviewfinder@gmail.com.
That's right. Becky, again, we are wishing you well. Keep making progress. I know it's a long road, but you are amazing and so many people are pulling for you.
That's the truth. I appreciate it.
All right. Until next week, guys, stay safe. We will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Excellent. I like that.